What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. Today we are doing Listener Spotlight Round 2. We're talking with Melissa Long. She's been in the profession for 12 years. Without much further ado, Melissa, this is about you as a listener of the Sports Medicine Broadcast. So we're going to get right to you. Tell me, how did you learn about athletic training?
I actually learned about athletic training. I went to college at University of Tulsa, and I went to play softball and be a landscape architect, and that didn't really work out. I got hurt. I spent some time in the training room and kind of fell in love with it.
Gotcha. So tell me a little bit more about the landscape architect. What happened there?
I'm a really bad drawer.
Really bad drawer? I guess that makes it pretty tough to be an architect.
It wasn't in the cards.
All right, so what was your injury that led you to the training room?
I had both knees were not in good shape.
All right. Okay. So then you learned about it, athletic training in college. So then tell me what was after college or how you got to where you are right now.
So at University of Tulsa, I actually double majored with sports medicine, well, athletic training and secondary education. And then after that, I went down to TCU as a graduate assistant. So they paid for my doctorate in educational or my master's in educational administration. And I hung out at TCU for a few years, which was awesome. I learned more as a GA than I ever learned before that. And then I liked it so much, the whole school thing, that I went ahead and got a doctorate too. So, you know.
All right. So Dr. Long. All right. So what was your doctorate in?
Educational leadership.
Educational leadership. Cool.
Yeah.
So with a doctorate of, or a doctorate, why are you choosing to work in a high school rather than in a college setting?
You know, right now I would like to go back to the college setting. I took a job at the high school level. My husband got really, really sick about 3 years ago. We were up at Air Force. He was a basketball coach, and he got real sick. He ended up having rectal and colon cancer. And so we moved down to Houston to go to MD Anderson, and I just put my resume out everywhere I could, and I took the first job that I could because I needed to be able to support my family. And, you know, he obviously couldn't work anymore. So that's why I took this job. And then I just really, you know, high school is so fast-paced and so much fun. The kids sometimes can be really trying, but in the end, you know, you're helping a lot of kids at one time, so it's really rewarding.
Hmm. Gotcha. Well, that's a interesting story why you had to move to Houston. So, all right. In all your years of athletic training, what is the worst injury you have dealt with?
You know, I don't know if it's the worst, but my very first road trip alone as a GA at TCU, I had just gotten certified like maybe 6 months before. And you know, when you're newly certified, you're around other people that are certified and you're kind of just learning from them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was my very first road trip alone. I was with the women's basketball team. We had back-to-back tournaments in Cancun and Miami, which I know is really tough.
Right.
And I had two freshmen who were, you know, maybe 3 years younger than me. And one blew out an ACL in Miami, and we still took her on to Cancun with us. And another one blew out an ACL in Cancun. So I left the road trip with 16 healthy players, and I came back with two ACL injuries. And, you know, ACL injuries are ACL injuries. They happen, and we all know how to deal with them now, and we all rehab them. But for back-to-back ones, as my very first road trip alone, it was really, really scary for me, but it was also very stressful. And you know, not really knowing how to control, I knew how to control swelling, but usually I had someone there, you know, telling me, yeah, your decisions are right. And this is the first time I had to tell myself, yeah, my decisions are right. How am I going to control swelling on a plane? How am I going to get ice in Mexico, where I don't even know if the ice machines work or not. So it was a really big learning curve. So I don't know if it's the worst injury, but it was definitely the most stressful for me.
All right, very interesting. So you said you had just been certified for about 6 months, and then you went on that trip?
Yep.
Yeah. Wow.
Yep, all by myself.
That's pretty intense being out there by yourself. So, okay, what is one of your more memorable moments as an athletic trainer?
For a short time back in 2007, I worked at a high school called Alito High School. It's up near Fort Worth. And we won a lot of state championships. And I think we had 5 all in 1 year. And that was like the best year. It was really exciting to be a part of all of that. You know, I know there's no truth to it, but it seems like when you win, there's a lot less injuries, which you always hope for as an athletic trainer. You always hope that everyone comes out, you know, clean and healthy. And for some reason, when you're winning state championships, no one's hurt. And you just get to go to a lot of cool places and play some really awesome games. So that was really great.
5 in 1 year. Yeah, I'm sure there's got to be some research that winning team, like when you win, there's less treatments in the athletic training room or less lingering treatments because people are trying to get out there and play. I don't know.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. What are some life lessons you have learned through the years?
You know, going back to my husband getting sick, and he's doing well now, but I think the biggest life lesson I learned was that we kind of just have going on, you know, how stressful work is and how stressful school is. And, you know, some athletic trainers have to teach classes too. Like, I just leave it all at work. When I go home, it's all about my family. I don't take any work home from the training room. If we're off on a Saturday, man, we're going somewhere with the kids and going to SeaWorld, or, you know, just trying to spend time together, because in the end, as many high school students as I help, my family's always going to be more important. And I have to remind myself of that almost every day.
So tell me a little bit more, how do you leave work at work and be home when you're home?
You know, all that paperwork that's sitting on your desk, it just sits on my desk. I don't take it home with me. I teach 3 classes here at Foster as well. And I put my stuff in my gradebook as soon as I can. If I get a little bit behind, you know, I'll eat lunch at my desk and enter grades. You know, it's not something that I'm going to leave and say, oh, I'll do this at home, you know, after dinner. I'm not going to do it at home. It's just not going to happen. So, you know, you kind of got to stay up on your stuff a little bit, but it's not, nothing I do at Foster High School, although I love this place and I love my student athletes, nothing here is going to be more important than my family. So I got to remember that.
All right, very good. So again, I'm just going to go a little bit more into that. Like, the school pays for my phone, so I have my email on my phone, and you know, it can easily be distracting. You know, if I'm checking my phone or I get a text or something like that, so while I'm at home to check that, how do you deal with that?
Luckily, or maybe unfortunately, the school does not pay for my phone. I do have my work email on my phone, and if it's something really simple and, you know, I see it come across and it's going to take a minute or two, I might answer it. But if it's like a sit down, let me draft this email type of answer, then it's just going to wait until the next morning. We have a 24-hour policy in our school district. Like, you have to answer all parents and whatnot within 24 working hours. So I'm probably never going to go 24 working hours without coming back to my office. So it can, you know, it can wait till morning.
All right, fair enough. Good. I'm really trying to learn some good tips here, because I find myself sometimes looking at my phone when I should be just playing with the kids. I need to learn to just put it down and walk away. So
yeah, it's tough. It's really hard to do.
All right. Give me one piece of advice for athletic trainers.
One piece of advice. I guess the best piece, or what I always try and do, is, you know, we deal with a lot of student athletes. We deal with a lot of injuries. Some of them are little, some of them are huge, but I guess to always just try and remain calm, like, and remember that to this person that you're dealing with right now, this is really important. And so even though to you and me, it might be like, wow, that's not even a grade 1 ankle sprain. You are a baby. You need to suck it up and just get back out there. This might be the first time they've ever been hurt, you know, and they don't know what being hurt really is. So you just got to walk them through it and say, look, this is what it is. Try and educate them a little bit. You know, it could be a lot worse. I know you're in pain right now, but I think we could probably get through this. Let's try and walk a little bit, and just remind yourself all the time that in this person's mind that's coming to you for help, this injury is a big deal. Otherwise, they wouldn't be coming to you for help. And it takes a little bit to kind of suck up your pride and just say, all right, I'm going to take care of this person who might not actually be really hurt at all compared to my grade 3 ankle sprain with a broken fibula sitting next to him, which happens here a lot. for some reason. But we, you know, everybody, they're coming to us for help, and the best we can do is just help them and try and respect them as a person.
Very good. Yesterday, I went after work. We went geocaching, whereas you're finding like little small treasures all over the place.
My kids do that. I have three of my own children, 7, 5, and 3, and they love it. They call it treasure hunting.
Yeah, exactly. So my 5-year-old was climbing a tree to get the geocache, and then he scraped his leg, and then he was, you know, crying, I need a Band-Aid. And I'm like, dude, that's just a small scratch. You're climbing a tree. But what you just said is I need to stop and take care of him there, and then it probably doesn't drag out for 30 minutes like it did. And so if I had put my pride aside and made that the most important thing and given him my attention, then it probably would have been just fine. So that's good working advice for me.
I spent 20 minutes putting calamine lotion on bug bites this morning before we even left for school. I mean, they're just bug bites, but to her, they're a really big deal. So,
Yep. And like you said, I want my family to be the most important. And so I need to make sure that I stop and give them that attention that I would do here. So,
yes.
Okay. And Melissa, 3 people you would like to say thank you to and why?
I think most importantly, you know, there's no way I could have done any of this without my faith in God. Like, I can't tell you how much I pray about my job, my schoolwork, my kids, my life, everything. So that's obviously number one. Number two, my husband is amazing. He beat stage 4 rectal and colon cancer. He still puts up with me and our 3 kids. And he's always supportive. You know, our job's not easy as an athletic trainer. And he is an athletic director up in Katy at a small private school. And so our lives are crazy, but he is there. He's supportive. You know, we're doing mass physicals today at my school. I'm sure he's got something important going on in his school. His kids are in state playoffs for baseball. But he's still this morning, he's like, well, what time do I need to come pick Alice up from your school? Alice is my 7-year-old who gets bused to me here at Foster every day. And so, you know, he's willing to put aside whatever it is he has to do to come pick up our kid so that I can get mass physicals done, which, you know, is really a blessing that he's so awesome that he's willing to support me. And I couldn't do any of this without him. And then, you know, up at University of Tulsa and TCU, I had some really great professors, really great athletic training, like mentors that I would never know what to know today without them. So Robin Plogar, Dr. Carr, Dr. Gardner, they're all up at Oklahoma. I think pretty much everybody at TCU has moved on except Chris Hall. He's still in the Fort Worth area, but they were great mentors. And without them, I wouldn't be an athletic trainer. I wouldn't be doing the things I do, and I wouldn't know the things I know. So I'm grateful to them.
Very cool. So Melissa, what is y'all's geocache name?
Shawtown 3.
Shawtown 3. All right. So if I'm ever in that area, I'll have to look. Ours is Jackson 5 Fam. So if you're ever in the Pasadena area and you find one, see, I've hidden one so far. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, we haven't hidden any, and we have a problem with wanting to take all the little goodies out of the little bucket, you know?
Yeah. Yes. My kids too. They only want to find the ones that have the little treasures in it. I'm like, that's junk. That's wet, rotten paper. Don't take that. So yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny that you do that because I have one other friend that does it, and everybody else I tell, they're like, wow, you're a nerd. And I was like, I'm not a nerd. It's so much fun.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's like, it's not fun. It's the kids. They absolutely love it. They like every time we have a free 10 minutes, oh, can we go treasure hunting? Are there any treasures near us right now? Like, maybe.
Yeah. It's a great excuse to get outside and, you know, not sit in front of a screen. So.
Yeah. Until we walked around a Walmart parking lot looking for a lamppost cache for like 45 minutes one day. We never found it, and they did not want to leave.
Good determination, hard work. See, you teaching them lots of good stuff there.
Yeah, but we really never found it.
It's all right, though. Perseverance. Maybe next time.
Yes.
So did you lift the little skirt up or whatever it's called? Yeah? All right.
Yeah, it's gone. It was not there.
Oh, well. Oh, well. All right, well, Melissa, I appreciate you being part of the Sports Medicine Broadcast. For I know you offered to help out when we're having all the issues with the CEU stuff, and so hopefully we'll get all that stuff going again once GHETS gets their stuff going.
Well, I'd love to know what I can do to help.
Yeah, like outside of
LinkedIn. Yeah. So once I get them going, then I'll get in touch with you and some of the other people that offered help, and I just have to have a approved provider. So I thank you very much for your interactions, for being part of this, for listening, and just for sharing your story here today on the Sports Medicine Broadcast.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me. Good luck the rest of today.